Happy game day, everybody. Welcome into Game Quest, a Tennessee Volunteers podcast here at VolQuest.com. I am your host, Eric Kane, alongside Grant Ramey. We're going to get you set for the next, we'll call it 40, 45 minutes or so, hopefully, for Tennessee and NC State. It's at Bank of America Stadium coming up Saturday night, Charlotte, North Carolina, a neutral site for the Dukes Mayo Classic. Tennessee is sitting at the time of this recording as 7.5-point favorites. That total has jumped up to 60.5, and we're going to give you some keys of the game, players to watch, the scout on NC State, and so much more throughout the next 40 minutes or so. Game Quest is presented by our great friends. That's over at Premier Garage of Knoxville, East Tennessee's number one provider of custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Be the best Tennessee fan this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Epoxy Flake Floor today at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. Again, check out the Smoky Gray Flake Floor today at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. All right, Grant Ramey, we got a lot to discuss. So, Tennessee, NC State, it's that game that I feel like the entire offseason, Tennessee fans have just been, oh, that's going to be a win. Chalk it up as a win. Chalk it up as a win. But it's one of those, obviously, on paper, NC State's got a much improved offense. I think it'll take a little while for it to come together, but they've got some talent there for sure, a really good wide receiver. This is a game, it's a top 25 matchup. This is a game to where, sure, Tennessee should win this game, in my opinion, but it's not going to be easy at points and times. And if you want to accomplish your goals of competing for an SEC championship, competing for a spot in the college football playoffs, your number one test is right now with NC State.
Feels like the preseason's over, kind of. Feels like that Chattanooga is a little bit like an NFL preseason where whatever happened then didn't really matter. It was everybody was all focused on North Carolina State the whole time anyway. It's a game Tennessee should win. They're favored to win for a reason. The points have gone towards Tennessee for a reason. I think there's going to be a point in Saturday night's game where you realize Tennessee's probably not as good as it looked against Chattanooga, because Tennessee looked pretty flawless against Chattanooga. And North Carolina State's probably not as bad as it looked against Western Carolina last Thursday when they were down 21-17 in the third quarter and they had to score three times in the fourth to win that game the way they did. So I think there's going to be some middle ground there and try to figure out who can respond better once you've reached that middle ground, like who has the better answers, who has the better, you know, week two adjustments, whatever you want to call it, because that week one is, you know, when you're playing FCS opponents, it can be a little bit hard to kind of gather or judge kind of what your team is. So I think it's going to be kind of crucial, key, whatever, to see what that team looks like, what either team looks like week one to week two, which team improved the most in that span.
Yeah, no doubt. NC State's going to be much better than what it was, in my opinion, than it, you know, it opened up with against the Catamounts of Western Carolina. Tennessee's probably not going to score 69, but it would be pretty nice if it did, no pun intended there. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm excited to see Nico out there. I'm excited to see this offense. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm intrigued to see is, you know, we got so many questions. We talked about on the Mailbag podcast a couple days ago, so many questions about the secondary. That's the biggest question mark for Tennessee entering the year. We learned nothing about this football team and certainly nothing about the secondary in that Chattanooga game. You know, maybe those questions won't have final answers, but we're going to learn a lot about Jacoby Thomas, Andre Tarenton, Will Brooks, Boo Carter. We're going to learn a lot about that secondary because Grace McCall is a capable quarterback. He's going to stretch the field a little bit. He got a really nice player in KC Concepcion. Noah Rogers can stretch the field. Justin Jolly, the tight end, can stretch the field. This secondary is going to be tested, and I'm intrigued to see how they respond. They're going to give up plays. It's football, right? The other team's going to make plays, but where is this secondary here in week two? Because they're certainly, whereas they didn't get challenged at all last week, they're going to get challenged frequently here in this one.
I think the emphasis is it's a starting point. And they could be bad against NC State. It's not the end of the world. They could be a better group a month from now, 2 months from now, whatever. They could be a better group against Kent State a week from now. I think it's not the end of the world if they do, you know, have a tough day, have a bad night at the office. I think it's also kind of going to go hand in hand with, you know, what's Tennessee's pass rush look like. It's been talked about, it's been raved about all summer, all offseason. It's going to be one of the best defensive fronts in college football. It's going to be one of the best pass rushers in James Pierce. All these other guys are going to benefit from all the attention that James Pierce gets. How consistently in a game that matters does this Tennessee defensive front live up to the hype? I mean, I still have in my head that sideline report right before the Florida State Georgia Tech game a couple weeks ago in Dublin about how great this Florida State defensive front was. They had 5 NFL draft picks on it. They were deep. They were talented, all this stuff. And they've come out the first 2 weeks and they've laid an egg and they have not been the team that everybody thought they were going to be. I think Tennessee's defensive front needs to, in this game specifically, establish that pass rush and show off that defensive front, the depth and the talent you've got up there to help that secondary out, because you overhauled that secondary top to bottom. It feels like you're starting over there. They might struggle a little bit because of, you know, the fact that you're starting over. They got to establish themselves a little bit. So how much can that defensive front and that pass rush affect Grayson McCall and take some pressure off of that brand new secondary?
Yeah, we're going to talk to Noah Fleischman here in a little bit from the Wolfpacker, get an in-depth scout on NC State and exactly, you know, who the Wolfpack are. But I'm also intrigued, you know, I've said this routinely, like on paper, they should be pretty good. On paper, it might not take, you know, it might take a little time to gel and everything. But, I mean, you return 4 starters on the offensive line with starting experience. You add a center from Notre Dame. You have a legit NFL prospect at left tackle. And I didn't go back and watch every snap of that football game. I was doing Rivalry Thursday when they played Western Carolina. But and maybe Noah can help me out here. Why did that offensive line allow 9 tackles for loss to Western Carolina? I'm confused on that. Yeah, they got their stuff in gear. They scored 21 unanswered in the fourth quarter and ran away just like a power program should in a game like that. But, you know, Grant, I'm seeing that offensive line gave up 9 TFLs. That's Tennessee defensive line. Woo! Could be in for a treat in this one if they come out ready to roll.
That's a pretty huge number, and to be honest, yeah. I had no idea that number existed. And against a FCS team. Now, Tennessee played an FCS team, too, and it's Chattanooga, and they're a top 10 FCS program based on preseason rankings, and Tennessee handled Chattanooga just about every way you could handle them. So that whole game, that whole 60 minutes of Western Carolina and North Carolina State is still kind of confusing to me, because I don't think North Carolina State's as bad as they look, like we talked about a few minutes ago. I just don't know how you're tied at halftime. I don't know how you're trailing in the third quarter against FCS competition based on what we saw Saturday with Tennessee and Chattanooga. 9 TFLs, you shouldn't be giving that up against, you know, lower-level ACC programs, let alone an FCS or Western Carolina. So I'm interested to see how kind of NC State reacts to that, responds to that. Maybe they just went extremely vanilla and didn't want to do anything in week 1 and save everything for week 2. Maybe that's something that happens there, but I'm very interested to see how they respond and kind of if maybe the preseason rankings were just wrong on this team or if it was just a bad night at the office against Western Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes playing that level of competition doesn't go according to plan. Look at Tennessee and Austin Peay last year. That game was never in jeopardy, but that was not a very clean and good feeling game afterwards for Tennessee. Look at NC State and Western Carolina. It was tied 14 at the half. NC State trailed 21-17, I believe, entering the fourth quarter. I mean, entering the fourth quarter. But then again, the Wolfpack turned it on, scored 21 unanswered in the fourth to win that game 38-21. So, you know, I'm expecting a team that's going to look a little bit better. I still think that this offense specifically is going to look better in week 5, 6, 7 than here in week 2. So I think it's good that Tennessee gets them now. One question before we get into our conversation with Noah Fleischman here. Kevin Concepcion, he's number 10. He's the wide receiver. He'll line up in the slot, in the backfield, out wide. He is the guy that kind of makes everything go offensively. For Tennessee, I think it's going to have to be a team effort. I know that sounds so simplistic, but can't be just one defensive back, can't be just the star. I think the linebackers are going to have to play a big role in knocking him off his route, messing up the timing a little bit, carrying him to the second and third level. Because there's going to be a lot of underneath stuff with Noah Rogers and Jolly stretching the field. They're going to try to get the football into number 10's hands underneath, and I think Tennessee's linebackers are going to have to have a big day defensively and helping defend that.
Yeah, you're going to have to know where he is. I don't think you can spy him like a quarterback, but you better know what he is, and you better know what North Carolina State is capable of doing with him wherever he is on the field, and you better do your best to avoid mismatches and not let NC State take advantage and get him, you know, where they want him or who they want matched up against him. And once he gets the ball in his hands, because he's going to get in the ball in his hands, you better get him on the ground. You better tackle. You better not, you know, a lot of yards after catch. You better limit those, because what we saw against Western Carolina, once he gets the ball in his hands, he knows what to do with it. Also, I got to mention, I think I mushed Western Carolina the other night. because I turned it on 21-17. I'm thinking this upset might happen. As soon as I turned it on, instantly to 14 straight points for NC State. And that actually continued over the weekend. I kept turning on these scores that looked like upsets, and the favorite would just start scoring. So that's my fault. My apology to all the upset-minded teams in week one.
Way to go, Grants. You had one job. You had one
I'm a
job.
Walking mush. I'm a walking mush.
We have one job, is to get you ready for Tennessee and NC State here coming up tonight. Bank of America Stadium. Maybe you're listening to this on a late Friday night, getting you set for the drive over tomorrow morning on Saturday. But it's Tennessee. It's NC State, 7:30 on ABC, neutral site, Duke's Mayo Classic. Grant Ramey said he will dive headfirst into a big old pool of mayonnaise if Tennessee wins this game. So we have that to look forward to. We're going to get Noah Fleischman coming up here in a matter of moments. Then we will end this show by giving us some bowl predictions, score predictions. We'll talk spread and some keys of the game. So you have that to look forward to. But I do want to tell you about presenting sponsor of the show, and that is our friends over at Premier Garage Knoxville. Garage guys and gals who bleed orange. Do you use that garage as some sort of a man cave, watching football throughout the fall, maybe even trying to get a quick escape from the family? I think Grant's he's a victim of that as well with a busy household. If you're like me, I like to start every football Saturday in my garage watching College Game Day, or even that start of the new 12:45 game on the SEC Network. It's your place, a place to kick back a few cold ones if you're not working like me, escape from it all. So here's a question for you. What better compliment to your garage than this sanctuary of sorts than Premier Garage of Knoxville's custom smoky gray epoxy flake floor? Premier Garage of Knoxville is East Tennessee's leading provider in custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. They only use company employees as opposed to subcontractors to ensure that you receive consistent craftsmanship and personalized attention. 15 plus years in business, locally owned and operated, and thousands of satisfied customers. Schedule a free in-home consultation by visiting PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. The Vols sported those smoky grays last weekend and looked pretty darn good doing it, so why not flake your garage floor with the same Tennessee smoky gray epoxy flakes? Check it all out today at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. One more time, that is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. And as always, do want to give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks, proud sponsor of the show. And they've got a lot going on right now. In fact, if you go to PricePicks.com, put in the promo code VQ, you're going to receive a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. Again, that is promo code VQ over at PricePicks.com/VQ. $50 once you play $5 in lineups. What is PricePicks? Well, it's the most fun that you're going to have, and you can win up to 100 times your money this football season. Just select two or more players, pick more than or less than their projected stats, and place your entry. Grant Ramey had a blast doing this last year. It was more on every single player. So you go to PricePicks.com. You see what the total is for Nico or Dylan Sampson or Dante Thornton, and you can project if they'll outperform that stat line or if it'll be less than. But we always go more here. We always take the over here on the GameQuest podcast. You set your grid up, 2 to 5 players or whatever, and then watch the winnings roll in. You can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few easy steps. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and enormous selection of players and stat types is what Price Picks makes them the number one daily fantasy sports app available. You can do college, you can do NFL, you can do basketball when it's basketball season, whatever sports out there, you have the option. Grant, love to check out the soccer plays on there as well. Big soccer guy is Grant Ramey. So a reminder, do all this. Go to PricePicks.com/VQ. Put in that promo code VQ. You're going to receive a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineup. Promo code VQ at PricePicks.com. VQ, $50 once you play $5 in lineups. Check it all out today over at PricePicks.com/VQ. Tennessee and NC State in the Duke's Mayo Classic. Going to be a big one over at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, neutral site. I expect Tennessee fans, I expect both fan bases to kind of pack that house. Tennessee fans always travel well, so it should be a really, really good environment. Over from the Wolfpacker, I have Noah Fleischman. Noah, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, kind of, big thoughts kind of going in this football game. I mean, you don't have to give a prediction or anything like that right now, but what are your thoughts for NC State heading into this game against Tennessee? Both teams 1-0, both teams coming off a win over an FCS opponent.
Yeah, it's a hungry NC State team. They weren't happy with how they won the game against Western Carolina. It's a game they were losing going into the fourth quarter. Obviously not what they want when you're playing a team from the Southern Conference, but they finished the game well. They outscored them 21-0 in the fourth quarter and really asserted their dominance, and that's something they want to continue into this weekend, playing a team like Tennessee. Obviously, you know, NC State has aspirations to make the college football playoff, and this is a game they need to win to make that happen. Obviously, there's a chance they could lose it and still get in if they run the table in the ACC, but a win over Tennessee would really, you know, set them up for success going down the rest of the way. So they're excited, they're hungry, and they're really, I think, just mad at themselves and how they played on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think we can all agree, you know, NC State's going to be much better than what they showed in that opener. Sometimes when you play a team of that level, it doesn't go according to plan. Tennessee won 30-13, I think, last year against Austin Peay, but everybody walked out of that stadium like, what were they doing? Like, that was not a very good game. So, I mean, it happens. Plus, a lot of new pieces. We'll talk about that on NC State's offense, at least, and it might take time to gel. But for those of us that didn't watch every snap of that football game, you know, we just see the stats. We see the 9 TFLs that Western Carolina had. We see McCall turning it over early, leading to a touchdown. We do see the good stuff for NC State, 21 unanswered in the fourth quarter, as you referenced. But why the slow start? Why was that a game the Wolfpack were trailing going into the fourth quarter? What kind of happened in that opener?
They couldn't establish a run game. Their run blocking was not good at all in the first half, and that really, I think, hurt NC State's offense. Grayson McCall kind of threw an uncharacteristic interception. He's a guy who's thrown 14 in his five-year career going into this year. Yeah. Threw one against Western Carolina the first time he threw an interception against an FCS opponent in his career. It was uncharacteristic. He threw the ball right at the defender, who was able to almost have a pick six if it wasn't for a tight end running down the field to make the tackle inside the 10. But it was one of those games they just, I think, took time. They were nervous. They talked about jitters. Kevin Concepcion, NC State's star wide receiver, talked about they thought they were going to blow him out. And so I think there's a little bit of just looking ahead to the next opponent, looking at Tennessee rather than playing the opponent they're playing. So that kind of played into it too. But after halftime, they really settled in on both sides. Well, I mean, the defense, it also had its struggles early on too. And it includes losing your starting Mike linebacker, Caden Fordham, you know, in the first series to a targeting ejection. After that, they had to take some time to settle down, but they did by the fourth quarter, and they're playing really good.
Let's stay on McCall. We know his resume. We know, you know, three-time Sun Belt Player of the Year award. We know he threw for over 10,000 yards coming into this year, 88 touchdowns and the 14 interceptions that you referenced. We know that that's a name that college football fans have been very aware of. We see the stat line for game one with NC State. How's the offseason been for McCall? How has he transitioned from the Southern Conference up to the ACC, and what, you know, what's been the talk about Grayson McCall throughout camp, and, you know, obviously that first game?
Yeah, in camp he's done really well. He's impressed. He's been accurate, which is kind of he's billed as coming in from the transfer portal, being an accurate quarterback. He didn't turn the ball over much in camp. He had less than two interceptions for the entire month of August. So that's why the interception in game one was kind of a little head scratching. But he's fit in well. He's been the leader that they've wanted him to be. Obviously, a year ago, NC State had a quarterback issue. Brennan Armstrong came in from Virginia, played the first five games, then was benched for a redshirt freshman who then elected to redshirt after four games and then went back and forth. NC State's looking for some continuity at quarterback. In the last 5 years, they've had one season where the starting quarterback in game one was starting quarterback in game 12. So they want some continuity. They're looking for it from Grayson McCall, and everything that he had in fall camp was what they were looking for. It just kind of came out flat in the first game. He made the right decisions, was behind some receivers. The ball was kind of just not as zippy as it was on the practice field. So maybe it was just nerves playing first time in front of, you know, 56,000 at home in a sold-out game. Who knows, but it's something he's got to shake before this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. The crowd, you know, he wasn't playing in front of those crowds at Coastal for sure. And some of the road games, you know, the Wolfpack at home too, but some of the road games are going to have those big crowds for sure. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. As long as he stays healthy, I guarantee you that he will be the starting quarterback for NC State in game 12 of the regular season, just like he was in game one. You referenced the run game, how they just couldn't find a run game. Again, didn't watch every snap of the game, but Jordan Waters, the six-year running back from Duke, who did some things there the last couple of games with Duke, but overall not a very productive stat-wise career. But, you know, on paper against Western Carolina, 20 attempts, 123 yards, two touchdowns, the bell cow. Looks like a pretty good day, but you said they couldn't find a run game. Kind of when did that transpire, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, he had a 50-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter, which
no,
kind of
that'll
makes
do
his
it. Okay,
numbers
there we go.
look really good. I mean, it was a great run. He found the hole and went, but it was just they couldn't find any rhythm, and it was forcing things. Hollywood Smothers was a running back that had a 25-yard run early in the game, and I thought maybe they'd stick with him. He only played 10 snaps. It is what it is. He averaged, 13 and a half yards a carry, I believe, and played 10 snaps. They kind of a weird running back rotation. They're trying to stick with Waters. Got 20 carries. They were trying to get him going. Eventually found it, and hopefully they can – get that 6 yard of carry he averaged for the entire game rather than relying on that 50 yard run in the fourth quarter.
I'll get to KC Concepcion here in just a moment, but a couple of newcomers to that NC State offense, outside of Waters and Smothers, outside of Grayson McCall, you got Justin Jolly, the tight end from UConn. Tennessee fans know all about him. There was some interest there in the transfer portal. They elected to go kind of a different style at tight end with Holden Stays, but what does he bring to the offense? And then Noah Rogers. Tennessee fans know him as well, big-time Tennessee target in the recruiting realm. He went to Ohio State before transferring to NC State. What does Noah Rogers and Justin Jolly bring to that Wolfpack offense?
Yeah, Noah Rogers is an elite, route runner, elite wide receiver, former five-star recruit coming out of high school. He's from the Raleigh area. That's really what attracted him back home. NC State was a runner-up in his recruitment out of high school a year ago, went to Ohio State, redshirted, and came to NC State through the portal. He's a guy that didn't get as many targets as I thought they were going to give him. In game one, they really relied on Kevin Concepcion, and we'll talk about, in a second. But he's a guy that is a game-changing kind of talent for NC State's offense this year. And they're going to rely on him to be that, as that number one outside receiver, as a redshirt freshman. Maybe it was a little bit of jitters for him, too. His first game as college player playing, even doesn't matter who they're playing, it's his first game playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And then Justin Jolie, a tight end that can do it all from UConn. He's a really elite pass-catching tight end who's working on his run blocking. But he's a guy, 5 catches, 75 yards, had a 50-yard touchdown reception taken off the board due to an illegal man downfield, which was just a NC State tackle driving his defensive end back 15 yards. But he got called for illegal man downfield. So it was that. But Justin Jolie, a guy who he plays really, really well. And obviously, and Tennessee's got Holden Stays, who played really well against NC State a year ago when he was at Notre Dame. So it should be a fun tight end battle.
Yeah, Jolie, 8 receptions, 89 yards against Tennessee in a November non-conference game at Neyland Stadium a season ago. Tennessee fans wanted him in a big way. But, as I said, Tennessee elected to go to kind of a different style of tight end to pair with Miles Kitzelman, who they got from Alabama as well, that felt like a throw-in. And Ethan Davis is more of the kind of the receiving athletic tight end for Tennessee. But nonetheless, let's talk about Concepcion. In a year where, as you pretty much painted the picture earlier, and obviously you can see on paper, an offense last year that was just not good. He was great, over 800 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns for a true freshman, ACC Rookie of the Year. He starts off 2024 like he ended 2023. 3 touchdowns, all that Grayson McCall threw went to KC Concepcion. I know that he's a smaller guy. I know that he moves around. His alignment will change from snap to snap. Feels like they want to get him the ball in space, but tell me, what makes him so special? And on the flip side of this, if you're Tennessee, how would you defend him?
Yeah, he's an elite talent. A year ago, talking about the offense not being great, he was the entire offense. I mean, he was
pretty good for one guy, but not good for 11, right?
Exactly. I mean, he was the second leading rusher on the team a year ago, behind the quarterback Brennan Armstrong. So like your third leading rusher was the top running back. So that's kind of where the offense was a year ago. But this year, they're kind of trying to keep him as that receiving threat. They're not really trying to run the ball with him as much anymore. They've got a freshman in Jonathan Paylor who is kind of that same format of this slot guy that they can move around. He's been in the backfield before. He's been at slot. He's played quarterback. He threw for a touchdown a year ago. So he's a very versatile player.
Wow.
Teams that play him one-on-one straight up generally tend to lose the battle when they try to play him. He's a good enough route runner that he can beat any slot corner, any nickel that is on him. And sometimes they put a linebacker on him, which I don't know why, because it's pretty much a free game for him. But yeah, he's really good in space. They'll get him the ball, whether it's over the middle. They've run pop passes for him. They did a lot of that last year to just get him the ball and go. He's fast. Once the ball is in his hand, he'll take off. And he's also one of their two punt returners. So you'll see him in special teams as well.
Yep. Obviously that's the name we've been, talking about all week long. I mean, we know Grayson McCall, we know the quarterback that he is, but KC Concepcion's a guy that kind of makes everything go. And I've been saying all week long, like, exactly. I mean, you can't assume that you're going to win that one-on-one battle, at least not the majority of the game. So the linebackers have got to help. They've got to get hands on them, got to mess up the timing. if you're in man-to-man and say he's in that skinny slot or say he's even in the backfield and you're in man coverage and you're manned up with a linebacker, you better switch off or you better figure something out. Hopefully there's one running, you know, cover one over the top that can come help you because, yeah, he's going to beat that matchup against a linebacker for sure. One more on the offense side of the football before we flip it over to defense. Offensive line. On paper, it says four guys with starting experience return. You added a center from Notre Dame, I believe. NFL prospect at left tackle. A lot of experience. Tell me about that offensive line. But also, again, game one, they're going to improve. I have full confidence in that. They're going to be better against Tennessee than they were against Western Carolina. But the Catamounts got non-TFLs. Why did that happen?
It was just the run blocking. Miscommunication really was the biggest problem, which is interesting when four of these guys played together a year ago. You know, you talk about Anthony Belton being the left tackle. He's a guy that's gotten first-round draft buzz, you know, this preseason. Zeke Grill transferred in from Notre Dame, who was their starting center at Notre Dame for the past 2 years. You know what, you know, offensive line that Notre Dame has. And he's a guy that they thought they could just plug and play. A little bit of miscommunication problems, but he talked today and really was stressing the fact that they think they've got it figured out. Pass protection-wise, they were great. Grayson was sacked once, but that was on a scramble, and he was just running around and ended up getting tackled. Everything else, they kept them upright, and they did really well. So it's an interesting thing. The biggest problem, they converted a guard into a blocking tight end in Matt McCabe. He walked on. He's played on the offensive line for most of his time at NC State. That seemed to be the biggest problem in the run blocking game, was just his adjustment to this new role, and they think they've got it figured out. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, their tackle for a loss numbers aren't pretty, but it wasn't like NC State felt like they were getting dominated in any way. It just kind of added up since the running game really struggled. Pass game went through the air, and, you know, they threw for 300 yards. So the offensive line did their job on that sense of it.
McCall, I know that he can run. I know that he didn't much in game one, but how much should Tennessee be, you know, focusing on, like, hey, you know, this dude can take off and hurt you on the ground as well?
Yeah, NC State likes to give their quarterbacks freedom to run, and that's just a Robert and I's kind of, you know, thing. If the play breaks down, he's going to go. But they're obviously looking at the pass first, but they didn't really run a lot of crazy things against Western Carolina. They've got stuff up their sleeve. I wouldn't be surprised to see designed runs for him. They are being cautious, though. He, at Coastal Carolina last year, played seven games, was knocked out of a game due to targeting, and did not play the rest of the year with a concussion. So they're kind of being careful with him, but he does have the freedom to go if he needs to.
Well, after 13 minutes talking about the offense, let's flip over and talk about the defense. And it's kind of funny, again, because – you know, NC State was nothing offensively a season ago, and now that's kind of where all the buzz is. Defensively, it was great last year. To my understanding, lost a lot. Obviously, Peyton Wilson, stud, arguably best linebacker in the country. That's a huge loss. Lost all three starting linebackers, lost some guys in the secondary, had a defensive lineman transfer out, I believe. Bring back Aiden White at corner. I know he's a good corner. Boykins, the safety, is still out, and that's, you know, obviously not good for NC State. Sounds like you're getting your nickelback back. He's been hurt, Jahad Carter from Ohio State. Sounds like he's going to be back. And, of course, you referenced the linebacker who played a couple of snaps and had to sit out the rest of the game for targeting. If any of that's wrong, correct me. But also, looks like it's personnel-wise, a lot of changes on defense. So tell me about this defense for NC State. Kind of what's going to be its strength this season, and what are they going to try to exploit against Tennessee's offense?
Yeah, eight new starters hit the field on Thursday night. You can really kind of quantify it as nine. Sean Brown was one of their starting safeties a year ago. He's moved to linebacker to fill the same role Peyton Wilson left at will linebacker, an athletic guy. They put some weight on him. They really like him there. He can cover really, really well, cover running backs, cover guys down low. He can also hit pretty well, so they really like him there. But yeah, Caden Fordham, Mike linebacker, was ejected, you know, first series of the game, which affected their communication a little bit until they got it figured out in the second half. Outside of that, defensively, you know, in the backfield, they're very veteran in the safety spot. You know, Bishop Fitzgerald is stepping in for Devin Boykin for the time being. He's a former, you know, top JUCO recruit in the country at safety. And then you've got Donovan Kaufman from Auburn on the other side at safety. And then, yeah, Aiden White, lockdown corner. You know what you're getting from him. He did give up a touchdown on Thursday night, which is his first touchdown reception to a wide receiver in more than 2 years. So he's a guy that is known for locking it down. He just had a bad day. And on the other side, sophomore on Brandon Tisse starting on the other side. He played a lot at corner last year in their dime package. He won the job in camp over a graduate transfer from Maryland. So They're an interesting group. The defensive line has been retooled. C.J. Clark transferred to Miami at nose tackle. Brandon Cleveland came in, who a lot of people thought he was going to win the job anyway, coming into this year at nose tackle. So that's fine. And then Davin Van is their kind of their go-to defensive end. Wears the number one jersey, which is a leadership jersey, and he's captain. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is Rhett Hibbler. He's a third down threat. They'll bring him in on third down to get off the quarterback, a former JUCO recruit who specializes in finding him. And he had 6.5 sacks a year ago.
A lot of talk from Tennessee fans this week, you know, having nightmares to, you know, the horrible loss in Missouri a season ago for Tennessee. But that stacked defense, 3-3. I mean, every defense in the nation is multiple. You have to be multiple. So I've been trying to stress, and tell me where I'm wrong here. Like, yeah, I mean, 3-3 stack can be your base. But, I mean, you're going to have a fourth guy on the line of scrimmage. You're going to have pressure going. If you have a 3-stack, you're going to be slanting almost every single play. The fourth is going to be coming from somewhere, because if not, teams will just run all over you. What is kind of the MO of this defense? What do they like to do? I assume it's going to be very aggressive. And how often do they get out of that base stack defense?
Yeah, Tony Gibson's a guy that likes to blitz, and he'll bring pressure from everywhere. You know, you can expect it from the linebackers. You can expect it from the secondary. He likes to mix it up. He likes to bring pressure, especially against younger quarterbacks. And it'll be interesting to see what he does with Nico on the other side. If anything, he likes to show really exotic looks at times. You'll think they're bringing 8. They'll drop 4. They'll bring 4. He likes to mix it up. I think we'll see a lot of that this weekend. But yeah, you can't really pick out where they tend to bring pressure from, because they'll bring it with the linebackers. They'll bring safeties. They'll bring corners. They'll mix it up enough to where you can't really figure it out. So they'll show you one thing, and you can see the same look and have multiple results come from it. I think we'll see that just trying to rattle a quarterback that's only starting his third game.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge key, you know, something to watch in this game. He's a young quarterback, and you know, Nico's got all the talent in the world, but there's going to be a lot of things moving in front of him. You know, pressure coming here, they're showing pressure here, drops back. Where's it coming from? The offensive lineman having to pass that off, trying to keep him upright. So I'm intrigued to kind of see how that plays out. What's the feel from the fan base heading into this game? You know, Tennessee's fan base is confident, you know, always been confident, but I think, of course, after the opener, even more confident, you know, for NC State. But what's the feel from the fan base, and kind of what's your feel on how this game's going to go?
Yeah, the fan base is excited. This is a team that coming into the year, you know, NC State's only had 10 wins or more once. Phillip Rivers did it in 2002. They had a chance to do it last year in the bowl game, and they lost in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. But this year, they felt like this is the year they can go 10-2, 11-1. Fan base thinks a college football playoff is possible, is doable. And after last week's performance, they were kind of let down to see what they got on both sides of the ball, especially this revamped offense that's been the talk of camp and how well they've been doing. They're excited. They're confident. I wouldn't say they think they're walking into a win. I think they think they're walking into a winnable game in Charlotte. It's going to be a packed house. I know both teams will show up. NC State travels really, really well, and so I'm not worried about that, and we'll see. But personally, like, this is an NC State team that has a chance to win a game like this coming off of a stinker of a performance against Western Carolina. This is a team that I think feels like they need to show up, and they will, I think, against a team like Tennessee.
Great stuff there, Noah. Really appreciate it. And what do you guys have over at the site kind of leading into this game that Tennessee fans might, you know, if you're an On3 subscriber, you can go check out your work over there on the site. What do you got coming up to get ready for this game?
Yeah, we've got different game previews of Tennessee, some stuff of NC State. We'll have, you know, a few more things leading into game day on Saturday, but then afterwards we'll have a ton too. So it's really exciting, big week, and should be a fun time in Charlotte.
Should be a good one, man. Noah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A great conversation there from our colleague Noah Fleischman over at the Wolfpacker. If you want to learn even more about NC State ahead of the big game coming up Saturday night, go check out thewolfpacker.com. And, you know, me and him exchanged some questions. I asked him 5 questions. He asked me 5 questions. He sent me an email back. I sent him a novel back where I was just drooling over Tennessee's team. I even put at the end, Grant, I was like, I know I seem like the biggest homer in the world right now, but I mean, it's hard not to be confident about this team going into this game, and really just everything after, and this will be the last time I say it because now it's NC State, but even though it was Chattanooga, it's hard not to be confident, right?
I'm so sick of saying it was Chattanooga, and everybody knows it was Chattanooga, but I mean, what Nico looked like, the way he threw the football, I mean, the way people have praised him in the days since his debut, I mean, what else could you ask?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, He was fantastic. I'm intrigued to see, obviously, level competition steps up in this one. NC State's defense, it's what they hung their hat on a season ago. Their offense was just abysmal, but their defense was really good. However, NC State's defense took a hit. They lost Peyton Wilson, obviously, to graduation. He was the best linebacker in the country a season ago. Their starting nickelback player, who is a transfer from Ohio State, his name is, if I can find it here, Jahad Carter. He should be back in this one. Starting safety, Boykins is still out, so that's a loss for NC State. Their starting linebacker got ejected a couple plays into that football game for targeting. He already served his half suspension, so he'll be back. I believe his name is Caleb Fordham. So they got some new pieces. They still bring back some talented Aiden White. He's a cornerback, all ACC corner. But it's kind of what they hung their hat on a season ago. I think that flip's going to script's going to flip a little bit this season. But anyway, I'm intrigued to see what Nico looks like against this competition. I think for Tennessee to be successful, Grant, we just talked to Noah. When we look at the keys to the game, Tennessee's got to start out strong. NC State's tried to replicate the tempo and all that in practice this week, and that's great, but you truly can't replicate it in practice. You can't. So hit that tempo early, be effective, finish drives. I think Tennessee's run game, especially if they have that three stack, you got to exploit that a little bit until they start sending a fourth guy up on the line of scrimmage. Run the football, but you know, for Nico, I think third downs are going to be big. Tennessee will face third downs. Where's your precision? Where's your accuracy there on third downs? He's been really, really good throughout his two starts to date, but obviously tonight's going to be a bigger challenge.
Yeah, I think there's going to be, for me, a lot of focus on the lines of scrimmage, protecting Nico and disrupting Grayson McCall. I think, you know, Nico doesn't need a lot of time to get the ball out of his hands. We saw that against Chattanooga. Not that Chattanooga was going to present a pass rush and affect him, but, you know, he took the snap, he got rid of the football, and he got it out accurately on time. In stride with his receivers. I mean, some of those throws were crazy in week one. So can he pick up kind of where he left off there? Dylan Sampson, yeah, that run game. They're going to have to be able to do that too to take some pressure off of Nico. And they have ran it. They've ran it well consistently under Josh Heupel. People don't really give them – I don't think they've ever given them the credit they deserve in terms of how much production they have running the football and how many different guys they've done it with, how many different ways they can do it. So that'll be big early. And then, you know, James Pierce played, 10 snaps against Chattanooga the other day? The whole 10. Defensive front, it felt like maybe 10, 15 snaps for the starters as a whole. So how, you know, what do those guys look like early on? How consistently can they pressure the guy? You're talking about the nine tackles for a loss by Western Carolina Thursday night or last Thursday night, whatever day that was. What's that defensive front look like? How quickly can they get settled in? Can they affect Grayson McCall? Can they help out the secondary? That's going to need some help. That's going to need some assistance as they kind of get their feet wet and kind of establish themselves as well. So you got to win both lines of scrimmage for me to win this football game.
I think NC State, as we mentioned earlier, is going to look better, is going to be better in this football game. But I've been on this for weeks, maybe this isn't bold or whatever. I know originally this game opened at, you know, 5.5 this week. I think it was even closer, you know, earlier there in the off season, but I think Tennessee wins this one by, you know, two scores minimum. I'm sure it could be a game where Tennessee's leading by, you know, 10 points and then punches one in late and Tennessee wins by 17 or whatever. But I think Tennessee controls this game. I do. I think this offense is too explosive. I think this defensive front seven is going to be just too much for even an experienced and talented offensive line. Maybe not last week so much, but overall for NC State. Tennessee's just got to stop and got to have an answer for Concepcion. He's going to get some yards. He's going to make some plays. He's going to somebody's going to beat the safeties over the top. You know, like, it's going to happen at some point, right? But what about everybody else? And what's your counter to that when adversity hits? I just think Tennessee's got too much ammo, in my opinion, on both sides of the football to not win this game. And honestly, in my opinion, be comfortable in winning this game. Grayson McCall is a good quarterback. I think when it's all said and done, his move – from group of five to power four is going to be just fine. But I think Tennessee controls this game. So with that being said, my final score prediction, and again, we record this before we actually write our predictions out, so if they're different, apologies. Grant, I think Tennessee covers the spread that currently at the time of this podcast is 7.5 Tennessee's favor. And I like the over at 60.5, and that's jumped up almost 2 points in the last 24 hours. I like Tennessee to win oh, we'll call it 42-27, Tennessee beats NC State. Yeah, it's a lot of points. I recognize that. But I think Tennessee will score, and I think Tennessee will have plenty of options to attack that new look defense that's trying to figure it out, much like NC State's trying to figure it out on offense.
I promise you, I had this number in my head before you said yours, 42-31. So okay. I was afraid you're going to pick my exact score. I do agree that Tennessee could come out and control this game and win by double digits. Obviously, 42-31 would be picking them to do so. But I think this is an opportunity to make a statement. Not that this is a statement game, I guess, if that makes sense. But like, people keep saying you're going to be 2022 Tennessee, not 2023 Tennessee, because last year's team had its frustrations with red zone scoring and, you know, whatever, not throwing over the middle of the field, all that stuff. You got to get back to being explosive. You got to get back to being 42, 45, whatever points per game that they scored, 46.1 in 2022. Get closer to that than the 30, whatever it was, low 30s last year. I think this is that kind of game where Nico makes a statement that what he did against Chattanooga, he can do against other teams. Like, it's not just because he's playing FCS competition that he looks as good as he did. I think the defense hasn't really had a chance to make a statement yet because they didn't really have to do anything last week. So see what that pass rush looks like. James Pierce has been raved all summer about being a top five pick, maybe number one overall, all this stuff, number one player in college football, all the rankings that came out. It's a chance for him to make a statement. It's a chance for Dylan Sampson to be Dylan Sampson and be the touchdown guy that, you know, I think he scored 7 touchdowns in the last 2 season openers. Like, yeah. The guy has a nose for the end zone, and it's his chance to kind of, you know, he's RB1, and now it's his chance to say, you know, he can pick up where Jalen Wright left off. So I think there are a lot of chances for statements to be made in this game. Tennessee needs to come out and do it and make one for sure.
You say it's not necessarily like a statement game or one of those that kind of define a season, but because I recognize, I mean, there are bigger games on the schedule, but I hate to sound like a coach, and this is coach talk. I mean, this is the most important thing in your season right now. Like,
for
like,
sure.
Again, this is test number one, and this is one of those games to where, I said it earlier, but I mean, if you want to compete for a spot in the 12-team college football playoff, this is a game that you got to win. And if you win this game, and you know, it's even magnified when they go to Norman, Oklahoma, in a couple of weeks, because I think if you win this game, you win that game, boy, you are sitting the prettiest of pretties. But you win this game, you're like, okay, so then I got the 3 big ones. You got to take advantage. You got to take care of business against Florida. That's never easy. You know, Kentucky, all those other teams on the schedule, but you win this game, it's like, okay, let's focus on Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia. Those are the big 3. So when you're kind of looking at these playoff predictions and scenarios, this is a game that you need to win, because if you lose this game, then the game in Oklahoma is almost a must-win, in my opinion. Because if you lose this game, you're not telling me they're going to go down to Georgia later on and still win. It'd be really, really tough to win at home. I recognize it'll be at home, but against Alabama if you lose this game. So, in a sense, yeah, I think this is a huge game, massive game, even though there's still 3 other bigger games on the schedule, if that makes sense.
I think it's a game, an opportunity for Tennessee to kind of make people sit up and realize, okay, like, this team can play. This team might be for real. Like, this team might be a legitimate playoff contender. And now the beauty of the 12-team playoff is, yeah, it's not the end of the world if you fall on your face Saturday night and you lose to North Carolina State. It would, you know, knock the wind out of a lot of people. But you have opportunities later in the season, where you could earn your way in. I mean, you go to Oklahoma, you have Alabama at home, you got Florida at home, you go to Georgia in November. There's going to be opportunities later on in the season, but you got to take care of business. And we've heard Austin Price say it before, like, Tennessee went to Pittsburgh in 2022, and they looked like garbage early in that game. They came back and found a way to win, went to overtime, won it, whatever, and they went on from there. 11 wins, all the, you know, 8-0 start, ranked number one, all that stuff that followed. You could just survive this game. That would be fine, too. Just score more points than the other team, get out of there, and go move on to the next one. And it's kind of crazy because the way this schedule lines up, Tennessee doesn't have a big home game until the middle of October, which is wild, because you had FCS last week. You've got Kent State next week ranked dead last in ESPN's football power index. Like, you don't have a big home game for a while. So you're going to have to go away from home, handle business in a neutral site game. Then you go to Oklahoma. Then you got a bye week. Then you go to Arkansas. Like, you're going to have to be good away from home. And I think that starts in Charlotte. I think it'll feel like a home game because that's what Tennessee fans usually do at neutral sites. But it's a good opportunity for them to go on the road or go away from home, I guess I should say, and kind of make people realize that, that this team could be tough to handle.
Yeah, and again, that's a great point. Just because, you know, you and I both are picking Tennessee to cover this spread, we're picking Tennessee to score 42, we think Tennessee's going to control this game. I mean, yeah, sure, that's what we think, but what do we know, right? End of the day, you just get a win. It doesn't matter. Like, there was a question in the mailbag earlier in the week, and I'm not picking on the question at all because, in a sense, it's kind of fair, but, like, that's a question. The question was, what's successful, you know, for Tennessee in this game? And, like, that's a question you asked about Kent State next week or UTC last week. This week, yeah, sure, Tennessee should win this game, and honestly, a lot of people think Tennessee will win big, but end of the day, just get you a win. It's early in the season. There's a lot of things that are unsettled. Get a win and, you know, move on and focus on Kent State, and then, of course, the next big one would be Oklahoma. Bowl predictions. We gave our score predictions. We gave a couple of keys or whatever. Give me a bowl prediction for Tennessee NC State in this one, Grant.
Dylan Sampson, 163 total yards specifically. I still can't remember which game we hit on. Was that last year where we got almost like the exact total for a certain player? I don't know. But Dylan Sampson, 163.
We were right, though, whatever. We were right.
Right, and three touchdowns. I don't know what – I think I'm the president of the Dylan Sampson fan club. I just think he's a really good running back. I thought he looked ready to go last week after really not doing much during camp. So that was good for him, I guess, to get out there and kind of get back in the flow of things. He scores touchdowns a ton. I just think he's a really good player. I think he's the best pass catcher out of the backfield they've had during the Josh Heupel era, and I think he – kind of pairs that with just being really hard to tackle, really hard to get on the ground. I think he's tougher than you give him credit for. You go back to that Kentucky game in Lexington last year where he put it on ice basically all on his own when they needed him to. I think he can be that guy again consistently. 163 total yards, three touchdowns. He would be the MVP, the tone setter, all that stuff.
So Tennessee forced one turnover defensively against UTC, and a lot of that was game plan. Chattanooga was trying to get in, get out, no injuries. Collect a paycheck. They were getting the football out of Artapias's, whatever his name is, his hands, you know, quickly. And so, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of sacks. There was one from Tyree West. Thought he had a really good game. There was only one forced turnover, you know, prior to Jordan Ross's block punt, scoop and score touchdown on special teams. Tennessee will create slash get takeaways three. Tennessee will force three turnovers in this football game defensively. And sure, Grayson McCall can play a similar tune at times because – I do think Tennessee's rush is going to be a factor in this game. And with Concepcion, you know, he's so, you know, so versatile in his alignment around the football that a lot of those drags, you know, easy slants, quick crossers, you can get the football out of his hands. But, you know, they're going to take some shots with Jolly the tight end, with Noah Rogers. You know, Grayson McCall is a good quarterback. At least we think he's a really good quarterback, you know, three-time Sun Belt Player of the Year at the Group of Five level. So I think Tennessee, though, will create – three turnovers, well, force three turnovers. Give me Tennessee's defense to have two interceptions. I think that would be really big if they were both secondary interceptions. Typically they are. I recognize that. But, you know, give me a Gibson. You know, it sounds like he's going to play. Give me a Gibson pick. Give me – it'd be great if a safety had an interception. That'd be really, really cool. So Tennessee will force three turnovers. The secondary will get two picks, and Tennessee will win this football game against NC State. Oh, man. I'm pumped, dude. It's a big-time game, location game. Not a big fan of neutral sites, but now that we're here, I'm ready to roll. I'm excited to get that NFL stadium. Excited to see what Tennessee looks like, and we're going to break it all down during the game, leading up to the game, after the game, all that and more over at VolQuest.com. I want to give a huge shout-out and a huge plug here to the presenting sponsor of GameQuest. That is Premier Garage of Knoxville, East Tennessee's number one provider of custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Be the best Tennessee fan this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Epoxy Flake Floor today. Go to the website here at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. That is PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls to check out the Smoky Gray Epoxy Flake Floor today. For Grant Ramey, I am Eric Kane. Big thank you to Noah Fleischman of the Wolfpacker for joining us here today. It's Tennessee, it's NC State at Bank of America Stadium. All that coverage and so much more right now at VolQuest.com.